Welcome to Paint Radio with your hosts, Andrew Dwyer and Kevin Hoffman.
Heck yeah, let's do a podcast. Paint Radio, the APC podcast. I'm Andrew Dwyer. Kevin Hoffman is here. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing well, Andrew.
Got a interesting story today of two contractors who merged, two competitors who merged, two similar businesses who merged, or maybe one acquired the other. I'm not really sure. We'll find out. We've got Will Scheel of Blue Star Paint in the Annapolis, Maryland area. Will, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
And his new partner, Steve Riley of Chesapeake Painting, also in the Annapolis area. Steve, how are you?
Doing awesome. Thanks, Andrew.
Love it. So, before we talk about, you know, what prompted you guys to even entertain this idea, and then, of course, how it happened, let's start just by tell everybody a bit about your business, type of work you guys do, how long you've done it, employee size, that type of thing. Will, let's tell us a bit about Blue Star Painting.
Blue Star Painting started it about 17 years ago, just servicing downtown Annapolis. We live in a beautiful town, beautiful homes, great people, and I love working with them. About 5 years after that, after we started doing handyman services, some bath and kitchen renovations. So we do have a division of Blue Star that's outside of painting, and we do bath and kitchen renovations, custom carpentry. And within the painting itself, we do residential, commercial, residential repaint, some high-end new builds, and we have a division that does all cabinet refacing and repainting.
Man, only working in downtown Annapolis. Sign me up for that, Will.
We do.
That sounds gorgeous.
Yeah, we do a little bit more than downtown Annapolis now. Currently, together with Chesapeake, we're Blue Star Chesapeake. We have about 65 employees.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, it's a beautiful part of the country, a beautiful town. I went to school not too far from there. So, yeah, love Annapolis. Steve, tell us about Chesapeake Painting.
I mean, very similar profile to Blue Star, 17 years in the making. We service Annapolis and about a 35, 40-mile radius outside of it. We, you know, like Blue Star, we have about 30-plus employees. We are 90% of what we do is paint. We pick up on some of the renovation work and some built-ins and some other carpentry type stuff, custom carpentry, only as we needed to through the years. One of the things I'm excited about joining forces with Blue Star is all the capacity that they bring on the carpentry side. Half of their business is kitchens and baths and renovations and basements and built-ins and all these things that my 15,000 past customers would love to have access to. So there's a lot of good reason that we brought them together, but Chesapeake really built its reputation on, you know, I have this theory that a lot of people can paint. There's a lot of guys that have skills with the brush and certainly with prep work and everything else that we do. But where we've really built our name is on customer service and technology. It's two areas that I just refuse to lose with. And we just continue to keep the same guys on our teams. The quality of work gets better, but then the quality of our customer service and the relationships we have in the community has really helped us build into a, you know, a very solid business that isn't going anywhere.
And one of the things I find so interesting about your story is that you were rivals. You were competing against each other. In other industries, I've noticed that when people are rivals and competing against each other, they're trying to undercut each other, hurt each other. One of the things I've really noticed in the painting industry is how much even competitors are willing to break bread, talk to each other, learn from each other, and coexist. So tell me a little bit about how that competition turned into a merger of equals.
I mean, I can jump on that. I'll just say a couple of things, and then I'll let Will weigh in. Of course, for years, Will's been trying to copy everything that we do and trying to look like us and do all the same things that we're doing. No, that's not true. So Annapolis is an awesome market for what we do. It's affluent. It has old houses, new houses. It still has a lot of kind of development going on in our kind of the outer ring of our service territory. So that's really kind of helped us all stay in business. There are a few other competitors that I would consider worthy. But I think a lot of the reason that particularly paint companies will commiserate or share information is because it's a very low bar of entry in the trades. Unlike HVAC, electrical, plumbing, they all have certifications, they all have research, they all have continuing education stuff. Don't have any of that for paint, really. Lead certification is about all that we have to do, and it's a super, really simple class. So sharing information, at least from my perspective, has always been one of our edges with companies that are established like we are. And if they're established, chances are they're doing the right things for their customers and by their employees. And chances are the owners are willing to, you know, share some of that information so that we can, you know, rising tide floats all boats. There are a few people in the community, but Blue Star absolutely was the top, the only company that I approached that I would think about merging with, just because their profile and the respect that we've had for each other in the community through the years without really burning each other, stepping on each other's toes. Like you're saying, some people burn the house down trying to, you know, bring your customer or competitors down. We just never had that. So it's been a good relationship for us long before we decided to join forces.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Behr. Behr Paint helps save time and money. From paint formulated to help you get great coverage, hide, and a smooth uniform finish. Take two. Today's podcast is brought to you by Behr. Behr Paint helps save time and money. From paint formulated to help you get great coverage, hide, and a smooth uniform finish to free job site delivery, preferred pricing for pros, and the lowest price per gallon on Behr paint, guaranteed only at the Home Depot. Behr is committed to help you finish every job efficiently so you can move on to the next one. Behr paint.
Will, what was that like for you?
Exactly the same, Kevin. When I first started painting, I was in my late 20s. When I first started painting full time and making a business out of it, and I'd go into the paint store to pick up brushes, you know, rollers, whatever I needed, and all the painters were so upset with each other. They were hiding POs so that people wouldn't know what houses they were going in. And I started realizing pretty quickly that that wasn't going to get anybody anywhere. The only thing that was going to keep doing is making that painter have one helper and keep doing, you know, day to day and not looking far ahead. I started building connections with some of the local painters. Just, what can I sub from you? What can you sub for me? What products do you like? What networking groups are you working with? And through building Blue Star, you're seeing Chesapeake Painting Services. They have a, their old logo was the Gentleman Painter. So everybody had tuxedo shirts on. And I was downtown and I saw them walk by and I thought, that's pretty smart and pretty evolved for a local paint company. And so Steve and I just started talking a little bit about what we are doing, what they're doing. And it kind of organically grew to be in this relationship, friendship, business partnership that's finds us where we are today.
So who approached who about the idea and why? What was the motivation? Was it to get out of the business, to get bigger? What would drive this idea?
I mean, I approached Will initially, but it was really we have a shared accountant. And he was the one who had the idea initially, because he knew that I was aiming to buy my partner out. He was ready to go. My partner, he had worked really hard to get up to, you know, he just couldn't do it anymore. He was done. But we never would have gotten there without him. And it's one of those, like, what got you here won't get you there. So in having these conversations with my accountant, he said, well, I know somebody else that you might want to talk to. And I think he was simultaneously having the same conversation with Will and just said, you know, because what I do in the business, I do in other business, I can do in other businesses as well, just in terms of leadership and strategy and technology and customer service things and sales and hiring and firing. Whereas, you know, Will and my former partner, James, know everything about the trade. And when they go out in the field, they actually know what they're talking about. I don't, admittedly, but the combination, or at least the partnership, has always been an excellent one with me and my former partner, James, and now me and Will, because Will also has a lot of that same acumen that I have on the business side. So now I have a partner that I just feel a lot more invested we're both much more invested into the growth of the business and like where we can take it from here. So when I initially approached Will, it was a very honest conversation from the start. I said, I'm going to buy out my partner, and I think that you and I would make a great team. I don't think our accountant would have introduced the two of us or suggested it if he didn't at least think that the financials would be there, like the economic modeling that I had kind of walked through with him just to see, you know, even just like how can we consolidate some of our back office and some of our overhead costs so that we can be more profitable. What are you guys doing out there that we're not doing? So they're doing kitchens and baths and built-ins, and they've got a dozen carpenters. I've got like one and a half carpenters, that one of them is a hack. So we're just trying to figure out like where the synergy was. And in the process, I was also explaining to Will, like, this is how I see you kind of coming out and working on the business rather than in the business. I think you'll be much more valuable. You'll do less work and you'll make more money. So all of those conversations really culminated in a much more serious proposition once I did get my partner, you know, out of the way, so to speak. And then Will was doing the same with his partner. So the I guess the foundation was laid very early in our conversation, very honest conversations. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went to we had our first off work meetup was downtown, and we had a couple of drinks, we had sushi, and it was like our first date, right? And next thing you know, 2 hours passed, and we had so much in common with our visions for the business, the way we see the paint industry, the way we see the overall home service industry, like kids' philosophies. And it just I left that 2-hour, 3-hour meeting of just talking about everything underneath the sun, feeling like this was the right decision. This is going to be the best partnership. The painting in general is most companies are very small, and we can continue to stay as Blue Star. Steve could continue to stay as Chesapeake, and we'd be fighting the same battles separately. Let's bring it together. Let's tackle it. Let's make it big. Let's add values to our clients. Let's add value to our employees. Let's provide a lot more, let's hire and provide more value to more people in the community. Let's service more communities and really make our mark on the area. So,
yeah, I'd rather own a smaller piece of a larger pie and to have more reach and more opportunity to leverage some of our strengths. And then with my, the kind of the things that the areas of strength that I bring to the business, a larger organization, or at least more resources, more top line, middle line, there's just more opportunity for me to come in and actually kind of pull some levers that will enable us to grow a little more smoothly and definitely be more profitable. And there was already very obvious areas of profitability that were being left on the table by both companies. Mine, because I didn't have enough scope of work and the capacity. Will's, because due respect to Will, we run a super tight business and we have a really lean model that allows us to kind of squeeze every penny out of everything. And we know where all the bodies are buried.
Well, it sounds like a classic American love story. But I know that behind the scenes, business can be a lot more difficult to get across. So what is the mechanics of that from a legal perspective, from a staffing perspective, in terms of combining the businesses? Someone might be listening to this. They may have a competitor that they're friendly with, and they may be wondering how could I do this and how easy is it? Steve, maybe you could kind of illuminate us.
I mean, I can say this. Whether your listeners are continuing with their own business or if they have some designs on merging with somebody else, it's the same considerations, right? It's all the same challenges that we all face running any type of business. You guys have it in your business. It's culture and personnel and strategy and finances and all of those things. But imagine now, and Will and I have made a fair few mistakes here in the last 9 months of bringing these two things together, notably like getting ahead of ourselves, over-promising, under-delivering to our team, trying to do certain things too quickly and not really understanding how bringing those two together or trying to consolidate things can pose a lot of challenges, especially for our team. So the number one lesson we learned was like don't say it until you know it's actually true. Don't get too far ahead. Definitely don't say we're going to do it by this date, because we've made, you know, set deadlines that we, you know, in most cases that we just weren't able to live up to for things that were out of our control, whether it's permits on the building that we're in, or it's a new hire, or somebody left, or what. There's so many different kind of challenges that we faced, but what we're still facing now and what we're in the throes of at this point is, and it all sounds great. And on paper, we align amazingly, right? The two companies are going to put this thing together and we're going to fold into one brand. But you can imagine we have two different brands. We have two different sets of customer bases, some overlap. We've got two different sets of services. We've got two different teams. So we've got 30 plus guys. They have 30 plus guys. They're all used to the way things work at Blue Star. Our guys are all used to the way things work at Chesapeake. So just some of those operational elements, I think we underestimated some of the, you know, kind of folding together of them. People get territorial about their roles. People get worried about their jobs, about their future. So we've had to, you know, kind of take a step back and alleviate some of their concerns. At the same time, we know that we're going to lose a couple of people here or there, or we might end up asking them to leave because they don't fit into the new construct. But then we also have, we use a CRM platform called Jobber. These guys are still using QuickBooks for all of their estimates and invoicing. We've got different merchant accounts. We have different bankers. We have different tech, you know, just day-to-day technology. We don't look at numbers the same way. We have different people on the team that do share different roles. So you can imagine all of those back office and internal challenges that, you know, every one of those requires a significant amount of attention, evaluation, and decision-making to which one are we going to go with, because we can't maintain two separate sets of everything. And then it's a matter of, well, how are we going to consolidate it? Who's going to do it? How much is it going to cost us? So when I first went through and made a list of all of the things that we need to consider, whether it's a CRM or a financial system, all those things, there were 76 rows in a spreadsheet that we had to really consider. So we had like the thing in one column, we had Blue Star in the one column, this is what they're doing or using. We had Chesapeake in the next column, and the last column was, and this is what we're gonna go with ultimately. And we might have gotten through 30 of those so far. So
let me ask you, Will, some sort of rapid fire, quick fire logistical questions. So
let's do it. I'm ready.
Is it gonna continue to be both Blue Star and Chesapeake, or is it becoming one name, and what's that going to be called?
Oh, great question, Andrew. Right now, we're functioning as Blue Star Chesapeake. We have a dual new logo that's the combination of both of us. We're looking for January of 2025 to roll out a completely different name. And at that time, we're talking about signage, letterheads, wrapping the trucks, yard signs, anything you can think of. And we, you know, at first you're like, let's just come up with a logo. Let's do it right now. And then we realized how involved and how entrenched both of our brands are, and that we didn't want to throw out our existing brand loyalty to adopt this new flag. So that took us a little bit more thought and a little more pause.
So I think that's really interesting. I think it's also, you guys deserve a ton of credit, because you can't do something like this without having some humility, right? Humility is not the opposite of confidence. You both are confident guys. You know what you're good at. That's what feels like was the foundation of this merger. But you also have the humility to know, hey, I'm open to new ideas. I'm open to doing things differently. So I think it's also fascinating that this merger is not in any way completed. It's very much in the middle of it, at least from an operations standpoint. So is the hope that once the merger is completed, everyone will be using the same CRM, and there's not sort of a separation of workforces or marketing goals. Is that the goal, Will?
Yeah, and I think even when Blue Star was Blue Star, we're always evolving. We're always seeing, is this the best CRM for us? Is this the best spend on marketing dollars? Is this the best business development company to use? Is this... So we're joining forces to have a shared experience, to get a shared idea about what the future looks like. I guess the question is, when is the merger going to be complete, and what does complete mean? Because I don't think it'll ever be complete. We're always going to be evolving, and I'm excited for it. One of the things that Steve and I have talked about is the reason we want to merge is because we want to get better. We want to get bigger. We want to hire more people. We want to add more value. And if we stayed in, as Blue Star and Steve stayed as Chesapeake, we would be doing the same thing we did in 2023, in 2027, and it would just keep going. So, yeah, I think it's will it ever be completed? I don't know. But hopefully by the first month in 2025, we'll have a pretty good grasp on what needs to be done and who needs to do it. And with a new brand and a new name, we'll be ready to sell everything.
I'm going to put not
sell the business, sell all of our painting services, home services, and really get rolling on where we want to be. So,
yeah, that would be a different kind of podcast. That would be the closing down your business podcast. I'm going to put you guys on the spot, ask a question. Hopefully it doesn't get awkward between you two. I'm going to ask each of you the question. Steve, starting with you, are there ever areas of disagreement? And what are those areas and how do you resolve those disagreements?
Yeah, of course. Thankfully, we haven't had any sort of catastrophic ones or any huge impediments because I think we were pretty well aligned from the start. I guess some of it's just in terms of like day-to-day management and leadership of the company. We're pretty lean and we squeeze our guys. I don't like to use that word really, but it's the truth. Like they work really hard. We pay them well. And we have very high expectations of them. And then we have very tight numbers. We track every penny on every project and in real time. So it's a bit of a manual process in doing so, but what we've found is that it helps us not only be more profitable, but it helps us make more informed decisions along the way. And what it's really helped us do is create systems. And I don't just mean like a financial system and spreadsheets and that kind of thing. I mean like how we get the guys together in the morning and how we get, you know, the paint ordered and how they roll out at 7:29 and they're on the job by 7:59. So Will's team hasn't necessarily worked that way through the years. And that's posing a few challenges for us right now from a leadership perspective and operationally. It's not that we disagreed on it. It was more like they've been doing things one way and I'm like, we need to do it this way. And he's like, yeah, but you're stepping on guys' toes over here because they're just not happy with what's going on. And he's got his kind of project managers and his leadership team that are feeling like, you know, I'm railroading them by kind of just forcing all of our systems on them. So that's been a bit of a challenge. I guess if I had to point to anything, that might be one thing. But Will and I have a very respectful relationship that, and it's a very bottom-up type of leadership, which I never would have joined forces with him if he didn't have it. And when I say that, I mean, like, he looks at things the same way I do, which is we know that everybody else gets paid first, right? We're last to eat. And I need to make sure that they have every single thing that they need from the frontline guy that's taping in the morning to, you know, our top level carpenter or our estimators even. So if they have everything that they need, then we're more likely to be more successful. And at least we've taken away all of their excuses, right? So what more can I do for you? It's like servant leadership. So that approach, I just respect that so much. And this is really why Will and I get along really well. And I don't know, maybe Will can point to something else that we've had any type of disagreement with, and I'm sure more is coming, but so far so good.
Oh yeah, no, there's never been, we have yet to have a blowout fight over something. We're both pretty mild mannered. Andrew, you talked about humility, and I think I would say more of self-reflection. So if you're going to find where the bodies are hitting your own place and then show it to somebody looking through financials or operations, you have to be pretty humble in order to do so. Both Steve and I, we maintain the party line. We have managers, we have sub-managers, we have crew leaders, we have painters, we have helpers. We have all these people that we need to communicate with and communicate with them on a different level and provide them a different level of information about what we're doing. It's almost like mom and dad. He and I will have a conversation and make sure we're on the same page, because I'd rather both of us be on the same page and one of us be unhappy then all of our Cruise employees see that we're not on the same page and see a chink in the armor. I'll ask mom instead of asking dad. Dad said I could go out. Mom said no. So we have a lot of open communication about big picture, small pictures, all the nuances of running a small business. And I think that's really helped us get our guys on the same page and go with a new order of operations.
I think it's a good point and a good analogy, the mom and dad. I mean, I've been married for 25 years. I have three children. My youngest will be 18 in December. So I have like three adult, like I have had my stuff handed to me for the last 26 years of my life. So talk about humility. Coming into work is like it's easy. It's like a blessing sometimes. So it's like, oh God, thank God, Will's here.
So have you guys defined each of your individual roles yet? And if so, are you simply co-owners, co-directors, or is one of you responsible for these practices and the other ones responsible for these other elements?
Steve is, as we said, he's a big picture. He's operations, he's marketing. He's looking at the structure and looking 5 years in the future to see where we need to be and where we need to be now. I'm more front, I shouldn't even say front line, but I'm more operations day to day, seeing what's going on. It plays to our strong suits. It plays to our personalities. And it's been a very good division of labor that has worked out so far.
Yeah, I'm not big on titles. I know they're important, especially as an organization grows and everybody needs to understand the org chart. For the two of us, we're just co-owners as far as I'm concerned. And I think that the roles that we fill have really been evolving organically, just on the basis of what I'm good at, what he's good at. He's much closer to the field. He knows what's going on. He can have those conversations. He can talk to customers. I don't even have that level of experience in my own business, but I can work with our leadership team, and I can kind of see what's going on, and I can pull the right levers so that we can, be 3 months ahead of ourselves at all times, so we know what's coming. We also just joined. We just bid off EOS. I don't know if you guys are familiar with EOS. So that's a new process to us, but it's a great time for us to bring our leadership teams on both sides together. EOS is Entrepreneurial Organizational
Operating System.
Entrepreneurial Operating System. So I'm a former, in my other business, I was a Gazelle's client, which is the sister of EOS. Vern Harnish had started that, and I went through that for 3 years with my leadership team. And it's really a coaching program for those of you listening that don't know. But you have an implementer, you have somebody with a lot of experience, and it's a very structured approach to your business. And what it helps us do is to get alignment among our top leadership, and then put a strategy in place, and then have a structure that allows us to kind of manage the business a lot more intentionally and purposefully. So since I've had experience doing this on the Gazelle side, it's very easy for me to bring this in. And it was my intention to do that for our team from the start. And I was going to sort of lead the effort. But what I've realized is as the owner and as one side of a two-sided coin now, I'm just too close to, I have too much discretion. I'm too close to the business. I have too much vested interest. So I really wanted to bring somebody else in, a third party, who can help us manage that process and be more like an objective leader and a guide and kind of remove my biases, but still allow us to push forward. So we just got that process started. I know it's going to be awesome for us. It's kind of a half a step back to take a huge leap forward, especially because we don't really have our full leadership team in place yet. But, these are the types of things that I guess where my role falls versus where Will's role falls, which is far more important on the day-to-day operations of the business.
Last question for me. You guys are hip deep in it. I think you've already talked about reflecting on maybe some of the things you did right and some things you did wrong. So I'm wondering if each of you could kind of give your kind of three kind of, sum ups or tips for people listening who may be thinking about this, things that you might recommend they think about during this process early on, and things that are a common pitfall that they may think they understand, but it's only after you get a couple months into it that you start realizing that there was some trickiness there that you didn't see. So with your own experience, which is incredibly valuable, I wonder if you could just kind of, we'll start with you, Will, if you don't mind, just the kind of top three takeaways.
Oh, top three takeaways. I'd say number one, finance. Make sure your financials are locked up, that they are airtight. Ours are, Steve's are, and it just comparing and contrasting made it easier to get in the bed together. But at the same time, if they weren't locked up like ours are, or both of ours are, it would have been a complete and utter disaster. You know, the second is just, we already talked about timing. Just make sure the timing's right. Here in Maryland, everything is, all the exterior painting happens between April and November. If we had to retime it, I think we would have chosen to do most of the heavy lifting in our non-busy season, i.e. December, January, February. And the third, that's it. I don't think I have a third. Just those two.
All right, succinct. What about you, Steve?
Yeah, I agree with both of those, of course. I would say take the time to get to know your new people, the other team. I still haven't, honestly, still haven't had enough opportunity to introduce myself. But not only to sort of know them, one of the things I pride myself on with our team, like I know them and I flub through my Spanish with them. And I know they each have 3.5 kids, and like, it's just like, it's fun. It's a lot more fun, but it also builds the most important thing that we've got in any business, but certainly when you're trying to bring two together, which is trust. So the next thing I would say is trust your people. You got to, Will and I were just talking about this, like give them enough rope. If they hang themselves with it, only let them do that once, make us all learn from it. But don't do it for them. We have to really, you don't want to be an impediment to their growth, and the organization can only grow and scale as we trust people, like trust and verify. Another one is knowing your data, like really know what the drivers of the business are and make sure that the people in the business understand what role they play in that, whether it's a number or it's a you know, some kind of satisfaction measure or something, but share it. Know your data, make sure it's accurate, and share it with, I think, with the whole team, but certainly with the people who are responsible for those drivers. And then give them a stake in the outcome. So everybody on our team has a stake in the outcome. 100% of people that work for Chesapeake, very soon the new business, will have some kind of a stake in the outcome, meaning if the business does well, they have some kind of bonus or commission that they'll be able to take a little bit more from, so that everybody's sort of invested, and it just really helps them not only make more money, but it helps build more trust, and then everybody's in it together, right? So, and the biggest thing that we've kind of screwed up along the way is just overpromising timelines, especially like we're going to move into the new building here, and we're going to have the new brand here, we're going to have a new CRM, and and none of these things have come true. So it just leaves egg on our face, where it erodes trust in us as leaders. So Will and I have really pulled back from overpromising, and we even go, don't ask me, like, when are we going to do that? We're like, no, don't ask me that, because I can't answer it right now. We're just going to do the best we can between now and then until it gets done.
So, well, man, this is it's a fascinating story. You guys are equally fascinating. You're very rootable. I think we're all rooting for you guys to do a great job. I think it's also interesting that, you know, there's not a lot of new stories. Painting contractors, like many business owners, entrepreneurs, are struggling with very similar things. And you guys are really working through the challenges that any contractor is working through who wants to improve their business, except that you're doing it at a far more complex, precarious, and risky process. Meaning, Will, I think you seem surprised by when I say risky. I mean, there's just a lot more risk. It's a lot harder to do what you're doing than simply to improve one business. And that's impressive. But you got to know your numbers, like you said. You can't chart a new course unless you know exactly where you are. That's for sure. You can't know what you want to be until you know exactly what tools and challenges you're currently facing. So that's you're a great model, I think, for any contractor to listen to. So thank you for coming on the podcast. We're rooting for you. Will Scheel and Steve Riley, now of Blue Star Chesapeake Painting. I think we'll check in with you guys in the future, and hopefully we'll hear great developments. But really appreciate you guys both coming on and telling your story. It's a great story.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thanks. Yeah, appreciate it. Hope we can come back and tell all about our successes at some point.
Love it. And this is what we do at APC. We tell the stories that are going to inspire you guys to keep doing what you're doing, to fight the good fight, to keep getting better without getting bitter, all those good phrases. That's what we love to do at APC. So if you want to find more stories like this, go to paintmag.com. Man, we've got a load of them waiting for you. Thanks for listening to Paint Radio, everybody. Have a great day.